Good morning. Our first scripture reading today is from, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24, and that can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1816. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified and sinful nature, its possessions, its passions, and desires. That ends the first lesson, scripture reading. Our second scripture reading is Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. And that can be found on page 1499 of your pew Bible. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Here ends the scripture readings. This is God's holy word. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thank you for reading God's word. I'm wired for sound now. We changed the batteries and that didn't work in the old one. So we had to get a new bottom part. I got it. I think. There we go. Okay, I'm ready now. While Joe fixes that and I break things, I was thinking about technology. I read about technology this week. And it says we don't remember as well as we should because of all the technology we had. We used to remember telephone numbers back in the day when you had the wired numbers and you had all these telephone numbers in your mind, and today you just look on your cell phone, and even my family, I forget their numbers because I'm just so easy to go to contacts or go to their name and have the number. But I thought, I don't know if that's really true, because with technology you got so much to remember. You got usernames, you got pins, you got passwords. I've got a plethora of those. As Lisa was changing out the batteries, I was thinking we got to be recharged, and there's four things I have to plug in to get ready for the next day. Electronics. Because at work, I'm sort of getting more with technology. I'm going to preach from my tablet. Let's hope it doesn't die like my mic did. But I have two tablets for work because we're changing from one server, old server, to a new server. And I'm reading patients off both tablets. I have my personal cell phone and I have my work cell phone. So I'm thinking, I'm too connected and I'm too to technology. So sometimes we need to disconnect and recharge from all the busyness of this world. And that's why we're here, right? To get recharged, to get rejuvenated, to be refreshed, to be revived by God and His Word this morning. But I'm thankful each of you are here this morning. I want to talk about self-control this morning. And concerning self-control, I read another joke. Forgive my corny back-to-school jokes. but this is one we all can relate to, perhaps. A husband asked his wife, he said, "I just don't understand. When I get mad, you stay calm and don't react. How do you maintain such self-control?" The wife said, "That's easy. I just go upstairs and clean the toilet." He pondered that for a minute and he says, "Well, how does that help?" She said, "I use your toothbrush." Hopefully you don't do that in your household. Self-control can be defined as the ability to control oneself, in particular one's emotions and desires, or the expression of them in one's behavior, especially in difficult situations and with difficult people. Do you face difficult people in life? We do, don't we? Just try driving around Connecticut and you'll face some too hurried, difficult people that you want to exercise self-control, or you should exercise self-control by that which comes out of your mouth, probably by that which enters your mind. But we all face difficult situations. Maybe you can identify where you are right now, in what circumstance or situation you find yourself under. How do you need self-control? Some of the things that we cannot control, though we try. We cannot control all the circumstances we find ourselves under, right? We cannot control other people all of the time, even though some people try to control others, and you can control somebody by fear or by power, position, but you can't do it all the time, and how they're going to respond and what they are going to do. And we certainly cannot control God, but sometimes we think we can, and we think we're in complete control. We're like that favorite and the most important school supply, the ruler. Well, we're not the ruler, though sometimes we think we are, right? If we're honest with ourselves. I read this quote about control and what we can't control. When you cannot control what's happening, the people, the circumstances, challenge yourself to respond to what's happening. How you respond, the way you respond to what's happening. That's where the power is. We cannot control our circumstances or other people, but we can control the way we respond to what's happening around us, right? That's where the power is. Do you need more self-control? I know I do. Very important that we have self-control. The only people I think we truly can control are ourselves. Proverbs 25:28, Solomon says these words of wisdom. "He that hath no rule over his own spirit," or "he that has no self-control, is like a city that is broken down and without walls." I don't want to be like a weak and defenseless city with broken down walls because of lack of self-control. I don't know about you, but I don't. That's why I enjoyed thinking about this sermon, preaching this sermon to myself, not just preaching it to you. But these words are for me as much as they are for each of us. We need to focus on what we can control and let go of that which we cannot control. And that which we cannot control sometimes brings fear and anxiety and angst in our spirit, doesn't it? What's going to happen in the future? What is that person going to do? Look what that person did. We can't control what they did or how they react or how they will respond, but what we can control is ourselves. As was read earlier, the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. There are nine fruits of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And the last one that's mentioned is what? Self-control, right? It's last, but it's certainly not least. I would say it's one of the more important. All of them are important. All of those fruits we should display as we're controlled by God's Spirit. But self-control is key to displaying the virtues and the other fruits. For example, the first one, the fruit of the Spirit, is love. Excuse my cough this morning. We need self-control as we show love. Control of our emotions, control of our words, control of our actions as we demonstrate love to those that we come in contact with. And we know we're to love our neighbor, we're to love all those in the world, we're even to love our enemies. That's the extreme that Jesus calls us to. But it begins with loving those closest to us, our family. But sometimes we don't love our family well enough, our spouse well enough, our children well enough. That's when we let down our guard of our mouth and our emotions, and they, instead of getting the best from us, they get the worst from us. And some of that may be because we know that they have a commitment and they're not going to reject us, so we don't always have to put our best foot forward. But self-control is so important in showing love. Love and joy is that second fruit. Self-control to seek God and not possessions that cannot bring true joy. I think joy comes from God. Joy is a sense of God's wellness, of His wholeness, of His peace that comes whatever the circumstance. Sometimes people look for fulfillment in things of this world, in possessions, in buying stuff on Amazon. How many people buy stuff on Amazon? Everybody in the room probably. Anybody that doesn't? Maybe some older people don't. Okay. Still go to brick and mortar stores, but it's so convenient just to order it on Amazon. But you can get all that stuff every day, but it's not going to give you joy. It may give you happiness for the moment. Someone said happiness is based on what happens, but joy truly comes from God. And we can't control what happens every day, but we can find joy in God. And we need self-control to seek God and His joy. Peace, he says. Love, joy, peace. We need God and to exercise self-control of what we think about, what's in our mind, what we take into our mind, that can lead us down a path of worry instead of a path of peace. Our mind is where worry begins. We begin to think about something and then we display an emotion that may be anxiety or worry that comes out in our words or maybe in our body. We get very anxious and we have to take medication, perhaps, for anxiety. Well, some of that comes from having self-control of what we take into our mind, that God can give us perfect peace, that we'll learn to seek God in prayer. That means a discipline, means control, self-control. I'm going to pray about this and ask for God's perfect peace to control my heart and my mind, that peace that passes all understanding, self-control. Yielding to God's Spirit control to find that peace. Patience. Control when waiting. Now, do you have a hard time waiting on something? Do you have a hard time sometimes being patient? Standing in line at the grocery store? Going to Walmart? I just don't go to Walmart hardly anymore because I have a hard time being patient or not getting frustrated. Especially don't go on Sunday morning. I mean, I don't know about you, but have you noticed that people are just oblivious to others these days? Whether it's driving, they're looking at the cell phone, just oblivious. Or you're pushing your cart in the store or Walmart. I'm not down on Walmart, but that, it's just crowded with people. And they'll just run into you. They're in such a hurry, they're not going to yield. They're not going to do anything. They're just going to keep going. So you just have to drive defensively when you're in the grocery store, especially at Walmart, okay? So we need patience, and that requires self-control. Uh-oh, I timed out, so I've got this complicated password to get in. Let's hope I can get in. Oh, I got it wrong, so be patient with me. And I'm impatient, and sometimes I do it too fast, and then it says wrong password. I have to do it over. Incorrect. All right, let's hope I can time into this. If not, we can all go home. This is why you don't use technology with your sermon. Okay, here it goes. We timed out. It's got medical information on here. That's why it's sort of sensitive and it times out quickly. Next fruit, gentleness. We need to be gentle in our response to others. Have a spirit of meekness, not harsh, not judgmental on those we disagree with. It grieves me when I look on social media and I see Christians going back and forth, whether it's over political issues or some issue they don't agree with, but they're harsh. They're not loving. They're not gentle. And in some cases, you're not going to change the opinion of that other person no matter what you post. And it's just not helpful. We need a spirit of gentleness. We all have our opinions, our beliefs, our convictions, but we don't need to try to force those on others. And that requires self-control sometimes. And then faithfulness is the last one before self-control. We need control to be faithful to God's will and God's way and God's purposes. It's an act of the will, decision to choose to say, God, I relinquish control to you. I want my life to be controlled by your spirit. I want my life to show and demonstrate the truths that are in your word. That requires control, does it not? So important. Just a few things before we look at how we can exercise self-control and close. What is it that we need to control? I'm using it right now. My mouth. My tongue that forms words. The words that come out of my mouth can either build up or they can tear down. Words that come out of my mouth can bring a blessing or they can bring a curse. There's verses that say, oh, Lord, put a guard over my mouth, Proverbs says. James talks about taming the tongue. We need to control our mouths. I would say control what goes into our mouth and what comes out of our mouth. You know, you say, where do you need self-control? Well, the things we eat. I recently went on keto diet because I had gotten overweight during, I lost weight at the beginning when I got COVID, and then I sat around and was working from home and I gained weight. I was on the COVID diet at first and lost weight, and then I got on the COVID diet and gained a lot of weight. So I said, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to buy healthy foods. I'm going to eat healthy. Exercise self-control. Less sweets, less carbs. And that's what we need self-control over. Self-control over our choices. We can choose good choices or we can choose bad choices. Self-control over our emotions. Take control of our emotions or our emotions will take control of us. We already talked about that. What we take into our mind that comes out of our mouth and our emotions and those emotions of the fruits of the Spirit or how we display those virtues are so important that we have self-control. Control of our will, what we choose to do or what we choose not to do. What convictions we have, what we will not do, what we will do. It all requires our will and a choice and a sense of yielding control to God and saying God's way is the best way. Self-control allows us to keep our mind focused on God while avoiding the temptations of our desires. And we'll look at that in a minute as we read the temptations of Jesus exercise extreme self-control because he knew who he was, he knew whose he was, and he knew what his purpose was and who his Father was. He resisted temptation. But many times we want what we want and we want it now, and it brings some degree of happiness for the moment. Sin is fun in its season, but the consequences are much more severe. So we need to think about that before we take that step. Self-control helps us regulate and alter our responses to avoid undesirable behaviors, increase desirable ones, and achieve long-term goals like losing weight or discipline and control to find that perfect job that we want. Or discipline and control. I'm going to go to school and I'm in control of this and I'm going to get this degree. So important. 2011 Stress in America survey conducted by American psychologists found that 27% of respondents identified a lack of willpower or self-control as a primary factor keeping them from reaching their goals. Majority, 71% believe that self-control is both learned and strengthened. So how is your self-control this morning? Where do you need to increase the amount of self-control this morning? How can you increase that degree of self-control? Let me give you a few things and we're close. The first thing I would say to all of us is surrender daily to the control of God. To God's control. God is sovereign. God is over all, is he not? Theologically, in our beliefs, we say that, but in our behavior, we don't always act like that. I sometimes sing with my patients, he's got the whole world in his hands. Familiar song. But I thought about that, and it's so easy to say, oh, God's got the whole world in his hands. But then if you think about how hard it is to get my little life and my little problem and to place it in his hands. Because we think, oh, I can control this. I can manage this. I can deal with this. I have the wisdom. I have the power. Instead of giving it and surrender to God's control. When we're saved by Christ's sacrifice, we are free. The liberty includes, among other things, freedom from sin. It says, our old self was crucified so that the body of sin might be done away with, we should no longer be slaves to sin. Through yielding to God on a daily basis in his lordship, we say, I'm a new creation in Christ. I don't have to worry about sin. No, we still have to choose every day. We were set free from the penalty of sin by Christ's sacrifice. We have the ability but to live beyond the power of sin each day as we are being sanctified by his grace today through our salvation. But it is a choice to say no to sin and yes to Christ and his way in righteousness. And that's a battle. Paul indicated that. And one day, thank God, we'll be delivered from that presence of sin and glorified with God in heaven. Until then, we need to yield to God's control, his spirit on a daily basis so that we don't find ourselves making wrong choices, entering into sin that can have devastating consequences. Second thing to do to exercise self-control, pray daily for God's spirit that you have self-control in the situation that you need it. The key to self-control is spirit control, is surrender to God, is surrender to his Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I yield to you this day. Let me show the fruit of the Spirit in everyone I come across this day. In my communication, in my circumstances, and a habit that I want to develop, a godly healthy habit, or one that I need to stop, a bad habit that I can't seem to break. I need your help. I need you to indwell me, to give me wisdom, to give me the strength to say no to the wrong behaviors, the wrong habits. So pray daily that God would give you His Spirit to help you to exercise control over your spirit. Surrender to God in His control. Say, God, you're God, and I'm not. Third, consider the hurt that can come from wrong behaviors, wrong words, wrong things that we do, as well as the good that can come from the good behaviors, the good choices. We have a hard time wanting to delay gratification, what we want, when we want it, how we want it. And that leads us sometimes to make wrong choices that can lead to wrong behaviors. And the Bible calls that sin. And it can have devastating consequences. But we don't always think through the end result. We want what we want now. How many of you remember, I don't know, I think it may have been an Art Linton letter, the kids do the funniest things, or who else did that? There was another one that had, who was the one that had the hidden camera? Was that Art Linton letter? The hidden camera was who? Candy camera with Alan Funk, right? See, our collective minds can go back to the past. But the kids had marshmallows placed before them, right? And the researcher was there, and he says, okay, here's one marshmallow for you. I don't want you to eat this marshmallow. I know it looks good, but if you don't eat this marshmallow, when I come back, you'll have two marshmallows, and you'll get a greater reward. And so it shows the researcher leaving the room, and the kids stand there looking at the marshmallow, sort of touching the marshmallow, smelling the marshmallow, looking around, picking up, eating the marshmallow. Is that not how, I mean, as some kids exercise self-control and didn't eat it, you know, the fear or wanting the rules and didn't eat it, and they got the second marshmallow. But which kid are we most like? Sometimes we're like the first kid. We see something, we like it. We're not sure, we're told we shouldn't do it, but it sure looks good, and we, that instant gratification. We miss the reward that is there. And we do that in our Christian life as well. Fourth thing, and we're winding down. Commit daily to live and act like Jesus according to the truth and spirit and the word of God. There were many who made poor choices who didn't exercise self-control. You can find throughout the Bible, and thank God we've got a lot of bad examples, because if everybody was perfect, we'd throw our hands up in despair. But we have the perfect example of Jesus. Bad examples, Adam and Eve. Good case study. You can have everything, but you can't have that. I want that, because you said I can't have it. It looks better, like the kid with the marshmallow. David. King of Israel, shepherd boy, man after God's own heart, but yet he saw Bathsheba. I want her. Go bring her to me. That led to one sin after another sin that led to devastating consequences. He didn't think through it. Didn't think through it. The lust of the flesh. Then Jesus, that perfect example we read about, he had three temptations. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. What's the first temptation? The lust of the flesh, it talks about in the scripture. His hunger, that natural desire. He hadn't eaten for 40 days, and Satan knew that, and he shows him round stones that look like loaves of bread. Oh, Jesus, you're God. Turn these stones into bread. Did Jesus do it? No, he exercised self-control. He said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He used scripture. He had conviction. He exercised self-control over a human desire that he has, that we all have. Next thing, what did he do? Took him on the city. Said, if you're a son of God, throw yourself down. And God says in his word, his angels you have command over, you will not fall down and not even the heel of your foot will be bruised, or you will not strike. The boastful pride of life. Come on, Jesus. If you're who you say you are, you can do this. But what did Jesus say? He resisted it. You shall not put the Lord your God to a test and tempt him. Then the lust of the eyes took him to the pinnacle of the temple. You can have all of this. Look at this. I'll give it all to you if you worship me. Use scripture. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He resisted those temptations, the lust of the flesh, lust of boastful pride of life, the lust of the eyes, what he could see, those things that were enticing to him, by saying, no, that's not God's way. That's not my conviction. That's not how I choose to live. That's not what God's word says, and he used God's word. We've got to have convictions. Our beliefs influence our behavior. What do you believe? Does your belief and your behavior match? Those things will help us exercise self-control. Closing. Self-control is the ability to control oneself, particularly our emotions, our desires, our expression of them, and one's behavior, especially in difficult situations and with difficult people. We cannot control what happens. Remember, we said this at the beginning. But we can control the way we respond to what happens. That's where the power is. The power is with God. The power is yielding to his spirit. In what area of your life do you need more self-control? I admonish you, exhort you, encourage you to surrender daily to God's control. God, you're God, and I'm not. To pray daily for God's Spirit to help you with self-control where you need it most. And to be ever mindful of the negative results of choosing wrongly and the consequences. And then of the good behavior, thinking of the rewards that can come as you exercise self-control under God's Spirit. And finally, be like Jesus. Our perfect example, resisting temptation, using the Word of God as our guide, and his love for God. Amen.